Your Bibles, please, as we continue for a little bit longer chapter from the book of Joshua, chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore he had Gilead and Bashan. There was also a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh by their families, for the children of Abiezer, and for the children of Helek, and for the children of Azriel, and for the children of Shechem, and for the children of Hepher, and for the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father." And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh, beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead. And the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethah that lieth before Shechem. And the border went along the right hand unto the inhabitants of En-Tappuah. Now Manasseh had the land of Tappuah, but Tappuah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. And the coast descended unto the river Cana, southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's, and the sea is his border, and they met together in Asher on the north, and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher Beth Shean and her towns, Ibleam and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of En-Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even 3 countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they did put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto?" And Joshua answered them, "If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." And the children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel." And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, "Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we continue on from where we were in the last chapter, We talked about the children of Joseph. Now we continue on with a greater detail, Ephraim and Manasseh and their various cities, towns, borders, and so on, and how they interacted with a couple of the other tribes that had a shared border with them of, say, Asher and so on. Most of this is fairly straightforward with regard to the geography of it. There are a couple of principles that are important. The daughters of Zelophehad in the family or the tribe of Manasseh were given 5 pieces of inheritance, 1 for each daughter, and there were 5 males as well. So the ladies inherited with the males there, and that was because those ladies of that family had no, that father had no male heir to give his lot to. So it was divided among the 5 women, and we will find out later that those women were not allowed to marry outside of their tribe, that the inheritance would travel with them to another tribe. So that land was a special provision that God had given as a type of heaven and their eternal inheritance. The Lord gave them an earthly inheritance to model to them their eternal inheritance. But they looked like Abraham for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God instead. Yet they did see that land of Canaan was God's provision for them, that they might continue on as long as the estate of Israel would exist. And so that was their place to live, and that spoke of that greater inheritance to come. So rather than having that inheritance pass out of their family, it was kept in that tribe and in that geographical boundary for them, so that their inheritance would not remove to another tribe. Remember that every 50 years, all of the borders went back to their original borderland, right? That you could swap lands for a while if you became destitute. You had a few years of crop failure, say, and could not feed yourself. You could sell your land. You could sell yourself into slavery that you might eat, even to a Gentile. But 50 years, every 50 years, all of the land went back to its proper borders, because again, the land of Canaan was a kind of holy land that was meant to add to God's promise, a tangible thing to give them encouragement with regard to God's promise of a heavenly land to come. We don't have such things anymore, and we don't need such things anymore. We live in the days of a spiritual house, a spiritual inheritance, and so on. We're not a church under age. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that we come down to verse 12. The children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but Canaanites would dwell in that land. Now notice this. Yet it came to pass that when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the implication is here from Joshua that they were strong enough to drive them out, but they didn't. They were waxed strong. They did have an opportunity to drive them out, but they didn't. Instead, they put them to tribute. Now, why would they do that? Well, there are 3 things that we want to say about that. The first is, in putting them to tribute, they left them in the land with all of their, can I say it this way, whacked out religious ideas. They carried their idolatry with them, those Canaanites. And it ended up that they infected that northern kingdom later on. We will remember that. The second thing is, why would you put someone to tribute? So that you'd have someone to do your work for you. So perhaps out of sloth instead. And then the third, why would you put someone to tribute? So not only could you have someone to work for you, but you could have of their stuff too. So it is out of greed and sloth and a lack of care for the true religion of Jehovah that the Manassites did not put the Canaanites out of their cities. They had the power. They had the strength. They were waxen strong. There was a time when they were weak. But when they were strong enough to do it, at that time they didn't. They had become habituated to having the Canaanites in the land. So instead, they put them to tribute. We must remember, beloved, that the Lord would have us eradicate all vestiges of our former selves out of our lands, out of our hearts. Okay, so then we move on in this last portion. And so these folks, they come to Joshua. The children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, "Why hast thou given us but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, and forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed us hitherto?" Sounds like a pretty prideful thing. They want more than they have. They're not content with their inheritance. By the time we get to the book of Judges, I believe it's chapter either 18 or 19, I think it's 18, we're going to see that the tribe of Dan does the same thing. "Oh, we don't like what God has given us. We don't like our inheritance. We want something else." So they leave their inheritance and they travel up north to that most northern portion right below the hills of Lebanon there in a country called Luz. And they find a careless people there and they will take over their land and call it Dan instead. You remember that? Not content. Well, these folks, these sons of Joseph here, they are not content with their habitation. And they say, "We're a great people. We have much, but we need more. Greed is my creed, and great is my need." We might hear in that. So what does Joshua do? Well, there's a division among commentators whether or not Joshua is being a little bit sarcastic or if he's simply being encouraging to them. You know, it's not that sarcasm is sinful. Even our Lord Jesus Christ used sarcasm perfectly. So it's possible to be sarcastic and also upright at the same time. But notice what Joshua says. "If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country. Cut down thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." There's lots of land in your backyard. Start developing it. Don't simply think you can walk into someone else's inheritance. Fields that are already plowed, vineyards and oliveyards already planted. You might have to work a little bit for your inheritance, sons of Joseph. Don't be afraid to do that. Well, beloved, that's good counsel. That is good counsel. Sometimes opportunities show up at the doorstep, but they're missed. Why? Because they showed up wearing work clothes. Right? We think that it's not an opportunity if it requires work. Beloved, keep in mind that work is God's portion for you. It's something He's given you as a gift. And the work to be able to subdue your inheritance to the Lord is indeed a wonderful opportunity. Okay, so it is possible to translate this not as "if thou be a great people," but "since thou be a great people, get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there." So Joshua is not so confrontational, but more encouraging in that second translation. And I'm inclined toward that. "Since thou art a great people, even at your own testimony, there's some work to be done, but your inheritance can be much larger than it is today. The only thing standing between you and it is cutting down some trees and doing some land development." Okay? All right, so now we go on in verse 16. The children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are in Bethshean and her towns, and they who are in the valley of Jezreel." Oh, now we're getting more to the point here. This inheritance that you gave us down there in the plain, it's full of guys with iron chariots. Our inheritance is too narrow for us. It's not too narrow land-wise. It's too narrow because us and the Canaanites don't fit. And they have chariots of iron. That's really what's going on. So Joshua told them, first of all, to cut down the trees. They might want to settle the hill country first, build up their armaments, cut down trees, make their own chariots, make their own arrows and spears and so on with all of that wood that's up there. Make use of it. The Lord has given you plenty to make use of to inherit. And then what does he say? Notice what he says. Even to Ephraim, to Manasseh, he said, "Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only." It won't be either the valley or the hill. It's going to be both of them, Joshua says. Notice, "But the mountain shall be thine, for it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." Why? because they are a great people and God has given them that land. All Joshua is doing here is encouraging them and reminding them of the greatness of their inheritance. And beloved, can we not remind ourselves of the same thing? Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I have this besetting sin. You know, it's just how I am. No, beloved, it's not. Let us remind one another that we are a great people with a great God and a huge, an inheritance that cannot be fathomed. So let us go and possess what the Lord has given, even if the current inhabitants of that place have iron chariots, even if there are some trees to be cut down and some land to be smoothed out. Let us remember that the Lord has given us the power to inherit our inheritance because He will be there to fight those battles with and for us. This is what Joshua tells the children of Joseph at the end of Joshua 17. Thus ends the reading then of that chapter. Let's